Joe, go to Genesis 42:36. That's not on your notes. I gave Joe three new scriptures while I was in worship there for me. I felt like God spoke to me that I needed to start here first. And it says, and Jacob, their father, said to them, says, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin, and you can add your own word there, too? All right, here we got Jacob, and you got to understand who Jacob is, and you got to put it into context to get this scripture, because Jacob, his name really is no longer Jacob, his name is Israel now. And so Israel, because he was Jacob when he wrestled with the angel and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want to tell you this, if you're struggling with something, you need to get the spirit of Jacob on your life. You need to make the decision right now that you are not going to let God go until, it don't matter what, how long you've been fighting it, how long you've been struggling with it, you don't give up in that thing, because the Bible said this, the angel said, hey, I got to go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And this is what the Bible said. The angel looked at him and said, your name no longer will be Jacob, which meant deceiver, liar, trickster, con man. Now your name will be Israel, which means prince. And out of that struggle, God made a prince. Now he called him Israel, and here we're talking about Jacob, but really that the Jacob is Israel at this point. He's done had all his kids, and he's gone up in life, and I love it. Even though God blessed him, I want you to understand this. Even though God had changed him, and even though God had blessed him, and, you know, provided for him and gave him all this favor, gave him the woman of his dreams. Hey, you need to know something if you're in here single. God does have the woman of your dreams for you. Now, you may have to work on it for 7 years. He actually had to work on his 14. But God did have the woman of his dreams for him. And so, he done got a woman of his dreams. He done grown in wealth and had a blessed family. But I want you to understand, during all that process too, he still went through a lot of hard times. That's very important. You need to understand this before we go any farther today. If you're alive, there's going to be hard things you're going to go with. There's going to be hard things you're going to deal with. It don't matter who you are. The Bible says the sun rises on the just and the unjust alike. Now, the difference between the just and the unjust is when you go through a hard time, you have a hope. The unjust don't. Now, it said here, he said, Jacob said to his father, says, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. All right, he's already been through an extremely hard issue here. Do you see that? Joseph was his favorite son, his beloved son, the one that he favored above all, put the coat on. I know parents aren't supposed to do that, but y'all know you do. You know you do. I got three beautiful little daughters. I love them equally, but I get along with one of them better than I get along with the other two. I don't know why that is. And is everybody in here that knows my three daughters knows exactly which one is like me and the other two are like Jennifer. And so it's amazing. And so I used to think of Jacob being wrong in this area. No, I understand. Like Haley, me and Jennifer travel and do different things, Jennifer will say this. All right, if we're taking two cars, Jennifer will say, who's riding with Dad? Who's riding with me? And it never one time has Alexa said, I'm riding with Dad. Not one time. But never one time has Haley said, I'm riding with Mom. It's like just natural order thing. We don't play for it, but that's just why. Now that I have kids, I understand how Jacob went through this and how one kid was, you know, more apt to please him than probably the other ones were and those kind of things. But so it says, but so it was his favorite son and he lost him. That's tough. If God really loved him, if God really had a call on his life, if God really wanted to bless him, if God really had made him a prince, why did he go through that? Then it said this, Simeon is no more. So he got hit not just once, but now he's taken two major blows. The oldest son's gone too. So not just his favorite, but the strongest. And the one that was the most responsible and took care of everything and, you know, was the leader of the brothers and all that. I mean, these are two hard situations. A lot of times when we read through the Bible, we blow through these things and we don't realize, man, godly people go through hell too. And here he went through hell. And then this is where he said, he says, and you want to take Benjamin, and you can add this on there too. In other words, on top of all this, now I've got this. How many of you guys ever felt like that? On top of everything else, now I've got to deal with this. On top of everything going on, the car breaks down. On top of all the bills not being paid, then I get this crazy flat tire. On top of everything I'm dealing with, now there's this too. See, your issues aren't new. They were there too. And I want you to know something. Mine are there too. I was in full phone. I got in my car Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. driving here, headed to the church, and Dad calls me and says, "Hey, Cricket, I want to start Foundations tonight." I said, "Well, Dad," I said, "we got to make the call now because I'm not going to make it if I don't." I said, "You're going to be able to make it," because he was about 6 hours from here too. And so he's like, "No, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there." So, great. About 3 o'clock comes around. Dad calls and says, "Cricket, I have a flat tire and I'm still 3 hours out." I was like, "Dad, on top of everything else I'm dealing with, now I'm dealing with this too." And it's like, it never stops. I want you to know, it's okay. You need to come to the understanding that it's okay. And by the end of the service today, I want you to understand, anytime you have a two, it's going to be okay. If you're dealing with everything, and you feel like there's another, one more straw is going to break the camel's back, you're going to get good news today. And it says this, "On top of all of Benjamin 2, all these things," he said, "are what? Against me." How many of you guys have ever felt that way? There's times this morning I've already felt that way. I don't know about you, and it's been a good morning for me. I mean, I've got to hang out with people I love. I've got to talk to people I hadn't got to talk to in a while, and it's been a great morning, but there was points in this morning with me and Joe, not that we were clouded, but trying to get everything together and getting all the projectors right. And I thought, on top of everything, I got to do this too. I know you got a lot going on. I know the enemy has come against you. And it says this, all these things are against you. I feel like the Lord told me to come tell you this today. If God be for you, who can be against you? It don't matter. You're going to see. We'll be through this today. And I may be emotional with it or not, but I tell you, I felt it so strong in my spirit that all this may be against you, but if God be for you, it don't matter. So we're going to get into that today. So I want you to realize, all this junk going on, all these hard times he's dealing with, and all this stuff that he just piled up on him, you can hear in this scripture, Israel. We're talking about, all right, when you read about God's people, they are the children of Israel. This is not just an ordinary guy. This is a godly guy now in his life. He's made mistakes in the past, but God has changed his life, and he still found himself in great despair. And he said, everything is against me. Now, Joe, I want you to go to Genesis 50, verse 20. I want you to see that you are 100% right when you feel like everything is against you. You are 100% right. The reason why you're 100% right is because you have to know that the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to come after you and to take from you. But there is good news. Because the exact statement that Jacob was saying was so devastating and so bad, a couple chapters later, talking about the same deal. I remember he started off talking, what started the avalanche situation here? He said, it was Joseph is gone. That was the first blow. Then he said it was Simeon and now Benjamin. I mean, so at the very beginning of when things started coming against him, this is what the Bible says. "But as for you, you meant evil against me. So everything that has been meant for evil in your life, every person that started talking bad about you, every situation that started going against you to keep you from going toward what you know God has called you, every deal you've been dealing with, everything that's been against you has been sent against you." One translation says this. It says, "For what the devil meant for bad." This is what it says. "But God meant it for," everybody say, "good." I'm telling you, it's going to end up good today. You have to understand. If you came in here and you thought, this too, The kids were acting up on the way, and that's just the last thing you needed, or the gas needle's in the red, or I don't know what your two was. I had a lot of twos going on today. And thing about it is, I know this. What the devil tried to use to stop me today, God is about to use it for my good. And to bring about it, as it is this day, to save many people. It's going to be a good day. Romans 8:31 says this, if God be for me, who? All these things can be against you, but they are a nobody. They are a nothing. It can't affect you in any way if God be for you. And we're going to talk, like I said, we're going to get into it today, just in a few minutes about it. We're going to go today, you know, over the last several times I've been preaching, I've been talking about limiting beliefs. And the Bible says in Psalms that God could do little things for, or he was limited for the children of Israel because they limited the Most Holy One, and they limit him by your limiting beliefs. And so we've been dealing with limiting beliefs, and we don't got time to get back into all that today. But what I need you to understand, the reason why we're going into this today is this. It's not just enough to recognize wrong beliefs. You have to get them out. But then it's not just enough to get them out. They must be replaced. You've got to think of your brain or your soul as a garden. And if you go in and rip out all that was growing there in the first place, and you don't replant something, how many of you guys have noticed that have ever worked in gardening? You don't have to plant weeds. They just come up on their own. No work at all. As a matter of fact, you can work hard as you can to get rid of them, and if you don't do something else different, the weeds will come right back with no effort. So today what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to speak to the areas in your life that the Lord's been revealing to you were limiting beliefs. And I want to speak to you what the Word of God says, what you're supposed to believe in these areas, so that when the weeds try to come back, that real estate is occupied. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says if you bind a strong man and you cast him out and you don't fill the house back up, then when he comes back, he brings seven of his friends. And they take inhabitants there. And so your stronghold becomes seven times stronger. So the things that have been holding you back in the past, if we don't put the truth in their place, what takes place is you get held there harder than you've ever been held before. So it's not just enough to hear the truth. That's why the Bible says don't just be hearers of the word only, you must be doers also. There are actions we must take. And so today we're going to jump into the action of replacing the beliefs with what the word says. And the way we do that is every belief system or every thought pattern or every habit or circumstance or emotion attached to a thought that you've had that has taken you contrary to the Word of God, we're going to challenge those today and put back what the Word of God says. We're going to talk about what the essence of God is. Now, in theology or in Bible school, they teach you the word attributes of God. I don't necessarily like that word because I'm not that smart, and I didn't really know a lot of times what attributes were. You know what I'm saying? And I thought they were just like characteristics, but attributes are not characteristics. There's a thing you got to know about God is God has what they call attributes, or what I'm going to call them is essences. Attributes are not characteristics because characteristics of something can change. Essences of things cannot. So we're going to talk about this morning what a few of the attributes of God is, because if you don't know what they are, then like in Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, can you pull that up, Barbara, do you mind? Daniel 7 25, you need to understand that if you don't know this about God, what takes place is what it says in Daniel 7:25. And it says, he, being the spirit of the Antichrist here in the book of Daniel, it says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. That voice you hear on the inside of your head, 9 times out of 10, it is not you. It is the enemy whispering, and then what happens is once you listen to it and you take hold of it, then it becomes you. But the thing about it is, it didn't come from you. And so the Bible says, it says that he will speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the laws. Now, can you go to the King James Version? Because it makes it a little bit more understandable. It says, and that's hard to believe, the King James will make something easier to understand. All right, but it says this, and you shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Do you know where the spirit of despair comes in? Just like Jacob had it. He said, this is what he said. He said, all right, I've lost Joseph. I've lost Simeon. Now I'm losing Benjamin too. And all of this, that spirit of despair. But you see what took place here. He had gotten himself to a place where he felt worn out. He couldn't handle another thing. How many of you guys have ever been there before? I'm telling you, yeah, you may have been there today. I don't know, but I've been there so many times I can't even count it anymore. But it says this, it says the devil will speak words against the Most High for this purpose, to wear the saints out, to make them think, to think to change the times and the laws. The times and laws are very important here because times are, this part talks about seasons, and the laws in the Bible are talking about the seasons of harvest and the seasons of sowing and reaping and the seasons of blessings that God is trying to get. And if you can, if the enemy can speak lies about God to you and you let them stay in your life or in your mind or in your, the Bible said, we talked about last week, remember the Bible, woman with the issue of blood was sick for 12 years. 12 years. And then it says, and she heard Jesus was coming by, but her miracle did not happen until it says, and she said to herself. She had to change the voice that she was allowing to speak to her. She said, she said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Now, she wasn't speaking theology here. Do you understand? That is never, there's not a scripture that says if you can but touch the hem of his garment before then. So she created this whole new theology of healing pattern. If somebody were to do that today, there would be churches popping up all over called the hem of his garment churches, where they would put cloth all across the front and people would just come in touching it and touching it, because that had never been done before, but it worked. Why did it work? Because not that the action that she took place, it was her belief system had lined up with the attributes of God. And this is what the Bible says. When she touched him, your virtue left. Jesus' virtue left him. And Jesus turned around and said, where did my virtue go? And this is what he said. He said, your faith, your belief system, what you have chosen to hear in your life has made you whole. So the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we're talking about this morning, the attribute. You need to know the truth about your God. Because I know this, the same way the devil's been speaking to me lies about God, he's been speaking to you about lies about God. And you say, well, I don't believe lies about God. Oh, yeah, we do. Any area you have stress in your life, you're believing a lie about God. Any area that there is fear in your life, you are believing a lie about God. Now, it's not your fault until you know the truth, because the Bible says the truth will set you free. Now, the thing about it is, a lot of times we can let them belief systems stay in us and we can believe in God. But again, remember we talked about, you can have a positive belief and a negative belief pulling against each other, and whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. And so you're going to have to, that's why the Bible says take captive every wrong thought. So what I want to do today, I want to talk to you, it's a very simple message to you, but I want to talk to you about the thoughts you should be thinking about God. Because there are his attributes. And what his attributes are his essence. It's not his characteristics. It's not his actions. They are who God is. And that's hard for us to understand because we try to put an infinite creature or infinite being into a finite brain and we can't wrap our mind around. There's parts of God we will never understand until we get to heaven. But I want you to know this. I don't exactly understand how oxygen and hydrogen can come together and form water, but I drink it every day. I don't know how two gases are able to do that. I'm not that smart. And I've decided the things about God too. I'm just not smart enough to figure everything out about God. But if God wants to do it in my life, I want him to do it in my life. And so I'm trying to find out as much about him as I can, because the more I know about him and the more I know him, the more I change in my life. So the first attribute I want you to understand is that we're going to talk about, the Bible says in the book of Joe, you can go there with me. Psalms chapter 119, verse 68. It tells us the first attribute about God. And to me, this is the most important attribute about God. Because this attribute about God, if you can just get this one, all the rest are easy. If you can just get this one. And so we're going to see how the other ones work. There are many attributes of God, and they use all them long scriptural theological words, and we'll use them. And I know a lot of times, when I was sitting in Bible school, a lot of times they'd use these words. I'm like, why don't they just call this something simple? And they just like they make it too complicated for me. But I'm going to try to make it where I was able to understand it today, because I want you to know, if you can get this one, your life will change. Here it says this in Psalms 119, 68. It says, "Thou art good. And dost good. Teach me your statutes." If you don't know anything else about God, you have to know that God is good. Now what we do a lot of times is we put the belief system about God being good in the form of what this scripture contrasts here is. We think God is good and He's good to us. And we skip the fact that you need to understand an attribute is an essence. Like, you can be kind, but that not be an attribute of you. One of your major attributes of you is you're a human. And there's nothing you can do or no way you can try to quit being a human. God made you a human. Now, I know some humans that walk like dogs. I know some humans that act like ducks. I know some humans that act like all kind of things. But it don't change the fact that no matter how they're acting, they're still a human. Why? Because they were born a human. They are a human. And all of their essence, everything that makes them up, makes them human. You need to understand that God being good is not just what God does. God being good is what God is. In other words, you can look at my hand and see skin. Underneath the skin, there's going to be muscle. Well, let's talk about my arm. There's more muscle there to talk about. I know. I've got skin. I've got muscle. I've got veins. I've got tendons. All the way down to the core fibers, though. I've got cells and I've got these things. And that's my essence. Good is God's essence. In other words, it's not something He just does. Good is what He is. So that means this. There's no way that God can be anything else but good. And see, the enemy has spoken to us a lot of times in our lives about these issues. He tried to tell us, you know, God is good sometimes. Or God is good, you know, to others because they deserve it. Or God is good. You know, see, this scripture right here says, God is good and He does good. They're two different things. Do you understand that? You've got to get this, because once you get this, you understand that He's not just good because you're good, or He's not just good because He loves you, and He's not just good because you're doing everything right, or He's not just good when you obey. He's always good. And there's nothing you can do, there's nowhere you can go, there's no way you can live that would change the fact that God is good. And you've got to understand that that's who He is. Not because He wants to be. He does not have a choice. The Bible says that He has no end and no beginning. He's always been this way. As a matter of fact, there's scriptures in the Bible that say this. The whole reason why He created... We'll go to that. James, go James for me real quick, Joe. James chapter 1 verse 17. Says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the world that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." The very reason you exist is because God's good. You've got to understand the very fact that you exist, the Bible says, is because God is good. Now, you got to understand one of the laws, though, of God, or that God's put into place. Like, anyone in here want to argue the fact that there is a law of gravity and it exists? Does anyone want to argue that fact? I've never lived at a second or a moment in time that the law of gravity hasn't had an effect on me. There are certain laws that God put into place, just like He put on this earth, that are at effect and at work in our lives that can never change because He put them in as laws or precepts and principles. And one of the laws He put into place, He said this: everything is to bear fruit after itself. That's why you don't have a horse having a kangaroo. That's why you don't have, you know, fish giving birth to a bird. You know, there's never been a frog egg hatch open and an eagle fly out. It doesn't work that way. Because the Bible says at the beginning, God put forth a law that everything is to bear fruit, and everything that does bear fruit bears fruit after itself. And the Bible says here that the reason why He created you is because He's good. So what does that say about you? Genesis 1:1 says this, that when He made you, He looked back and He said what? You're good. Do you understand that everything that God made is good? Do you know why everything He made is good? Because He's good. It's like, you know, I can't give birth to a dog. Me and my wife, we've not had baby puppies. We've had baby children. That's because we're humans. And God is good. It's not what He does. Him doing good is a byproduct of Him being good. And because He is good, everything He's ever done was always good. That's why when you read in Genesis, even Him talking about light, they pull back and said, man, that was good. Yeah. You know, he was talking about dirt getting together and separating water and pull back. Man, that was good. You would think we would get to the understanding that if good does something, it's always going to be good. Even when it don't look too good. I try to picture what man looked like before God took the rib out and gave it to Eve. I try to picture that sometimes. You know why? Because we obviously didn't look too good. Because the Bible says God looked at man and said, man, this is not too good. We need to do something else. That's the only thing the Bible says He made that wasn't good. And He had to go back and fix it. And so if you ever have a problem with women in church, you need to understand, when men were running it, God said, that ain't good. And so He put a woman in the garden to help take care of everything. But you got to understand, there are these attributes. And the most important attribute you need to know is that God is good. Now, there are more attributes, and I could beat this in all day, and I'm going to go through these quickly, and we'll hopefully visit these next week if the Lord doesn't move me to something else. But all the rest build on God is good, and we're going to go through this real fast. Another attribute is God is infinite. That's hard for us to wrap our mind around, but that means this: God has no boundaries, and there are no limits. Let me put it into the form, though, of Him being the attribute of good. That means His goodness has no limits and it has no boundaries. Do you understand that? You can't be infinite and good at the same time unless your good has no end. There's no way to run out of His goodness. He's immutable. That means He never changes. You need to understand, the Bible says God is good. And He didn't decide one day to change that. He's immutable. He can't change it. If He was good in the beginning, He was good in the middle, He's going to be good today, and He will be good forever, because one of His attributes is He's immutable. Another one, He's faithful. And that means He's consistent. That means if He was ever good, He will always be good. And if you've ever been able to look back in your life and say, man, I sure am glad God was good to me right then, you can count on it. He will always be good to you from this point on, because He is faithful, and that cannot change. He's omnipotent. That means He has all power, or another way to say that, He has enough power to be good in every situation. He has enough power to make every situation turn good. Do you understand that? That's what I say. It says, all things will work together for what? For good. Why? Because God is good. And when you let God be good in your life, everything going on in your life, no matter how desperate you feel, will be good. Because He's good. Another thing is, He's ever present. Omnipresence is what they call it. I need your help, Miss Allen, because I've been in a lot of places in my life, and I felt like, you know, if God is omnipresent, that means He's everywhere all the time. And, you know, we know that we can know the scriptures that said God is with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. But I got to be honest with you. There are times that I felt like I was very far from God. You ever felt that way? And you felt like God was very far from you? You want me to show you what really took place? This is the way God wants it, because He's good. He made you for this. And God's omnipresent. He cannot leave. He doesn't go anywhere. He don't run off when you're bad. He don't say, well, I'm going to get away from Him for a while, even when you're screwing up. But this is what the Bible does say happens. The Bible says, when I'm messing up, He's right there with me. He didn't change. Remember, He's unchangeable. What happens is I do. And what I do is I do this. And now, He's still there. I'm just out of communion with Him. Not because He left, but because I turned. And when I turn, what happens is I can't see God. I can't sometimes hear God. I can't feel God. But I want you to know something. His character, who His essence is, who His attribute is, He's still there. And the thing about it is, He will stay there. You can't run Him. Have you ever had a friend like that you can't make mad and make him leave you? You know what I'm saying? I've been there. So what happens is this. Anytime you're ever to a place that you don't feel God, He's as close, the Bible says He's actually closer to you right then than He's ever been. Because it says it's close to the brokenhearted. I've never met anybody that turned their back on God that didn't end up brokenhearted. God has never left you. And the reason why He's never left you, because He is so good. You can't make Him mad enough to walk out the door. You can't do anything bad enough to make Him leave. God is good and He's always with you. Another thing is He's sovereign. That means He has all authority and He is in complete control of everything. That's what this means. You say, well, Cricket, if He's in control of everything, then why does He let the devil do this? Or why did He let the devil... Did you not read in Genesis 50:20? It said what the devil meant for good, for harm, because God is good, the minute it arrives, God turns it for good because He is good. It's not the absence of problems. It's the problem is when we don't have when we don't allow the goodness of God to be involved in our problems, then we find ourselves not experiencing good things. But when God is in it, it's always good because He's good. Next thing is He's holy. What does that mean? Pure. Holy means pure. So let me ask you this. If He's pure good, does that mean there's no way possible for Him to be any bad, any mean, any hateful, any judgmental? He can't be holy and not good. Do you understand that? So if you've ever felt like God was punishing you, you need to understand something. God is good and He is holy. And He can only be one complete thing. Because holy is pure. Lacking everything but one thing. He's good. He's just. You need to understand this. He's just. And you're going to say, I got to quote it. He's just. That means this. He's impartial. He's impartial. That means if He's ever been good to anybody, He got to be good to you. It doesn't matter what trail of destruction you've left in your past. If He's ever been good to anyone, I want you to know something. He's been good to me. And so I want you to know this. If He's been good to me, He's good to you. He's just and He don't pick favorites. We may do it, but He don't. He's just. Next thing is, He's merciful. What is merciful? Merciful means He gives us things we don't deserve. So if He's good, what has He given us that we don't deserve? The Bible says this, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in James. He's merciful. I deserve a lot of things. He looked at me and said, hey, I'm good and I'm merciful. So all I can give you is not what you deserve, but I can give you my best, which is Jesus. Because He's just, somebody had to pay. So He said, I'll give you my best. And so Jesus took our worst. And He is merciful and we get good when we don't deserve good. Now you say, great, why do I need to know that He's so good? Exodus 33, and this is why we're closing. Exodus 33:18 says this. It says, and then Moses said, Now show me your glory. Now you need to read and understand what Moses was asking God here. What glory is the ultimate greatness of something. The ultimate greatness of something is its glory. And Moses said, God, I want to see your ultimate greatness. Now, I know a lot of us in here want to see God in that way. I want to see God in his ultimate greatness. Because that I just can't imagine. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ears heard the good things. Do you understand? The good, the ultimate greatness of him. This is what it says. It says, Lord, show me your glory. And then the verse 19 says, and the Lord said, I will cause my what? Goodness to pass in front of you. Do you know how God shows you his glory? You've seen it your whole life. Problem is, a lot of times we didn't know God is good. The Bible said this, Moses was there and God was going to, he wanted to see God's ultimate greatness. And God said, the way I show you my ultimate greatness is for me to bring goodness into your life. Every time you've ever seen God be good to you in the past, you have seen the glory of God. So that brings up this question, then why? Why do I have hardships? Why do I have difficulties? Is it punishment? Is it sin? Is it? And the Bible says this in the book of John. That's what it says in the book of John, verse 9 and verse 2. It says, a group of people came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, this dude's born blind. Who sinned? Was it his mama? Was it his daddy? You know, was it the people? Who sinned? And this is what Jesus said. He said, no, it wasn't any of those things you guys believe it could be. This is what he said, though. He said, the reason why this guy's blind right now, he said this, so that my Father may be glorified. Now, let me ask you this. When God wanted to show Moses his glory, what did he show him? His goodness. He said, why am I blind? Why is he blind? He said this, because God wants to show you his glory. And the way he's going to show you his glory is I'm going to be so good to him that everyone will know that I am good. And it will change the way people believe about me. God is good, and you need to understand he's been good to you the whole time. And if you've got a difficulty, if you've got a situation going on in your life, you need to know this. Why? No, it's not because of your sin. We got a good God. He don't punish us that way. We got a good God. He's not disappointed in you. We got a good God. He's not let down. You've not upset him. You've not made him. He's so crooked. I've caused it. I understand that. Sin causes death. It's the Bible says that. But the thing about it is, the punishment, what the devil brought for good, for harm, the Bible said God is going to bring for good. You know why? Because he is good. And when he allows his goodness to show up in your life, what he's doing is his glory begins to show. And Jesus said, the whole reason why this is going on is so God can be glorified. You need to know this. If you're sitting here and you've done lost Joseph, if you're sitting here and you've done lost Benjamin, and you're sitting here and you've done lost Simeon, and something else is going on too, you need to know this. You're about to see the best, greatest, good Father you've ever seen in your life. Why is this coming on you right now? Because my God is good, and all things work together for good for those who love him. God is going to turn things around. One more scripture and you're done. This is what it says. Jeremiah 29:11 is the word of the Lord that God sent me here to say today. It says this, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. You say, well, Cricket, I have no idea what God's doing. You know, there's sometimes you just got to do it without knowing, because you got to know that God is good. That's what you got to know. You don't know what he's doing, but you got to know he's good. And if he's good, he can do nothing but good. And so the Bible says that Joshua, I was reading it this way, Joshua was, God said, I got this huge promised land for you. But there's this big city called Jericho right in your way. Can you imagine how scared Joshua was going into it? Because he wasn't a military strategist. The Bible says that he was actually a servant boy in the temple. He cleaned up after preachers. And we all know preachers are messy people. And so his job was to clean up. And it took him a long time to do it. Because when Moses would go home, the Bible says Joshua would have to stay in the tent a long time afterwards. So that was his job. He was an errand boy. And this is what the Bible says. All of a sudden he found himself in charge and going to have to go after the promise of God. And it says, so what he did was because he knew God was good. He didn't know how God was going to do it. He just started going toward Jericho. You know he was scared. The reason why I know he was scared, because at night when everybody else was sleeping, he was up stressing. That's what it says. He was up worried. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and he saw an angel standing there with a big old sword, and it freaked him out. And he said, are you for us or are you against us? He thought he's going to have to fight this big thing on his own. Didn't know what he gotten into. And this way he said, I'm not for either. He said, God sent me here. And when he said that, it gave Joshua great peace, because he knew this. He knew God is good, and if he came from God, it's going to end up good for me. And so it says this. It says, then the night before is when the angel told Joshua how he was going to win the city when they give him a shout of praise. And the walls fell down. You may not know how to get through this. And if you're waiting on how to know to get through it, to be able to trust that God is good, you're probably not going to find out how good God can be. You're just going to have to go through it, even if you're scared, knowing the fact that God is good. And he would not let you go into this and lose. But this was it. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. One version says this, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Another translation says this, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Another translation says this, to give you well-being and not cause calamity in your life. Another version says this, I know the plans I have for you, says Lord, they are good and they are not evil. Why? Because God's plans are never bad. They are always good. They will bring you peace. They will bring you well-being. They will move you into prospering. And so it doesn't matter what the devil has brought here today. All you got to know is the minute he brought it to you, God started turning it for good, because he can only do good in the name of Jesus. How many of you guys need God to do something good in your life today? I do. Man, I need God to do some good things in my life today, because the devil's been trying to do a lot of bad things in my life today. And this is what I want to do. I want to give God a chance to be God. How many times we don't give God a chance to be God? There's a lot of times I have. What I've done is I try to handle it myself. I try to deal with it on my own. I try to figure out my own way. And all God needs is a chance. All he needs is a chance to be a good, good father. I'm going to open this up. Joe's going to start this song right here. If you're here and you need God to be good, I'm going to dismiss everybody else. I'm over. I know. Oh, no. It's 12. Is that clock right? Man. Hey, God's not the only good one, isn't it? Usually it's like 12:30 when I get done, but it's 12. That was good. Hey, but this is what I want to do. I want to give God a chance to be good. Because if you give him a chance to be good, guess what's the only thing he can be? Good. Because he's only good. He can only do good. His very essence is good. And somehow, because he's sovereign and he's all-powerful, whatever he puts his hand on turns to good. He totally takes control and makes whatever you've messed up good. He takes that process. He knows your end from your beginning. That means before you ever started messing up, he knew you were going to mess up, and he knew the minute you give him a chance, he's going to make those mess ups good. If you need God to be good, I'm going to dismiss everybody else. If you need to give God a chance, I'm going to ask you to stand up, walk up here to these altars. You begin to worship in this song, and then our prayer leaders are going to walk down beside you and pray. I don't know if you need God in your health. I don't know if you need God to be good in your finances. I don't know if you need God to be good in your battle, in your situation. I don't know what you need God to be good in, but I promise you this, that's all he can be. He can't be anything else except what he is. And so if you want to give God a chance to be good, you come up here. If not, we love you. You dismiss. Hang out with us in the back if you want to. We're going to pray with some people today. And I know this. We're going to see the goodness of God. We're going to see God's glory come about today in the name of Jesus.